Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and you are listening to the Mushing Podcast. And today I am joined by a fellow dog trainer and dog musher calling in from Palmer, Alaska. Destiny, I know you were on our dog training show, but it's the first, I think it is, for the Mushing show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for joining us. Can you do us a favor and tell our audience who you are and what you're all about, please?
My name is Destiny Lytle. I am from Palmer, Alaska. I have been working with dogs my entire life. My parents met racing sled dogs when they were junior mushers before I was born. They got out of racing sled dogs, and they got into working line German Shepherds and breeding and training working line German Shepherds. So I grew up training in the sport of Schutzhund, which is tracking, obedience, and protection. At that time, I've also kind of had a habit of putting our Shepherds in mouths, and my dad had an old sled dog left from his kennel when I was young, so he also got to get put in harness and drag me around as a kiddo growing up, and then I found ski joring, and over the course of the years, I've played in dock diving and agility and obedience, rally, just about any dog sport you can think of. And I've finally found my way back to the runners.
And you have been doing this for about 15 years or so, racing, I guess we could say professionally. We're going to talk about a big time race that you did here this past winter. But as you said, Destiny, you got your chops learning in the family business, being dog trainers and the whole nine yards. And as you know, I know that business probably as well as you do. You have a company. Is it your husband, boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
And it's LNL Working Canines. And are you guys focused primarily on working dogs like you mentioned, protection and things like that? Or does that also include your sled dog kennel as well?
Our goal is to create a well-rounded dog. So we kind of help produce that, whether it be sled dog, working dog, German Shepherd, even Corgi, Karen Terrier, whatever. We believe that every dog is put on this earth to serve a purpose and have a job and utilize their mind and body. So our goal is to help people find what job works best for their dogs.
I like that. So let's jump over to Mushing. You said you have 41 dogs right now. Where do they come from? What is the primary line if you have one?
Yeah, they are kind of like a little hodgepodge group of dogs. We only have about 31 sled dogs. So the rest would be our what we call house dogs, our purebred and sport mixes that we have for competition sports and whatnot. But our sled dog kennels, the sled dogs kind of come from a little bit of everywhere. I got lucky in 2023, I believe it was. Open class musher was getting out of dogs, and he had a nice group of dogs from kind of all over, some streeper dogs, tailor dogs, dogs from Karoche, Scott. So just some really nice dogs that he was placing, and they wound up with me to foster them and try to help find them homes because they were a little more stubborn and had some behavioral issues that other mushers didn't really want to work with. And I kind of just put them in my team of shepherds and little distance dog I had at the time, and we started building our team from there, and then I got some dogs from Eddie Duke, and I've acquired some more streeper dogs, and I've bred two litters of my own so far. One I did co-breeding with Karoche 2 years ago now. There'll be two later this week. And I have five puppies from that litter. And then I did a breeding last year on my own, and I kept all seven puppies back from that. So a handful of my dogs are produced here on our property.
So you have some pretty high caliber dogs. You have some pretty high caliber dogs there, Destiny. For folks that may not be familiar with the names that you mentioned, really big name mushers here in Alaska and elsewhere. In particular, Kirosh Parto, our co-host here on one of our shows, and the Streeper Clan from Canada. There, you can't get much higher caliber than those guys, right?
Yeah, they're a good group of dogs. I really have enjoyed working with them. Really lucky they landed in my lab.
So here we are, 2023. You're gearing up for things, getting a bunch of sled dogs. I don't know exactly what's going through your mind right then, but most of these dogs that you have, of course, are definitely the sprint side of mushing. They are not the, the distance furry Siberian looking dogs. These are high drive sprint dogs. And this year, you really checked off a bunch of milestones, including running the Rondi. That is pretty impressive. That's the main reason I wanted to have you on the show, because that's a heck of a race, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
So for folks that are not familiar, break that race down for us. It takes place right in the middle of Anchorage. You're running on the streets, and it's a 3-day deal. And we mentioned the Streepers there. We have an 11-time champion, if I recall, from this year. One of those guys won that race this year. What was it like? How did you feel entering that field?
I was incredibly nervous. I'm not going to lie. I have been competing in dog sports since I could walk. My first time in the show ring was at like 4 years old. I've always had uber confidence going into dog sports. And it's really funny because I'm actually pretty close with the Streeper family, but in them, they're like kind of like my uncle and whatnot. My parents have handled for them forever, and I kind of grew up handling for them when they would come to Alaska. I would go to Fur Rendezvous and help harness dogs and help send out teams. So it was pretty insane taking my own truck of dogs, who in reality, we really haven't been racing that long. Like this group of dogs and I, we've been together for about 2-3 years, some of them. And competing in a race of that caliber with that many mushers and that level of field was just kind of surreal to me. But I was really nervous going into it, but as soon as we got to the start line and we got the dogs hooked up and we were counting down, it kind of like all the nerves went away and the excitement just came rushing in. And it was a really good, really fun race. I really, really enjoyed it, and we will definitely be back for more.
So it's a 25-ish mile race over 3 days, typical sprint race. You go out first as a group, and then the following days you go out in your placement. So the first musher in obviously will go out first the second day, and then on down through the crew there.
They actually do reverse start at Fur Rendezvous on day 2 and 3.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
So they send the, at that time it was me. I was number 17, out last, and we get the thrill of getting passed by everybody else who's a little bit quicker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that does change things, yeah. Doesn't it? Let me step back for just a second, Destiny. Did you do the race the year before where it was just a couple of miles?
I did. We did do the little drag race.
Because we had no snow that year, so they wanted to keep it up, I guess, just to keep the history of the Rondi. But you guys ran literally down the hill and back up. How long did that take you? Just a few minutes?
Yeah, it was like 9-10 minutes.
So probably the shortest race aside from a junior race he ever ran.
Yeah, outside of the limited. I do like to play in the limited class too a little bit. That's how I started playing. But yeah, my dogs were definitely that season training for much longer races. So when we went out and did 3 miles, they were like, what is this? Why are we back at the truck already?
Yes. Yeah. So let's sum up the Rondi this year. How did you place? How did you feel after it was done? And what was the overall experience like after it was all over?
We ended up in 15th place. I believe there was 17 of us. So I was very, very happy to just make top 15 in that field of mushers. And then afterwards, I was just ecstatic with my dogs and their performance and being able to go not just run that distance, two of my dogs in that team had never even ran 25 miles in their life. They had only done 20s, and they went out there and did 25 miles 3 days in a row like it was nothing. And I was super, super proud of that dog team. And yeah, it was just really incredible experience.
And of course, the cool new arch down there at the Mushing District that was the first race under that arch. So, of course, a lot of history there. And speaking of history, now that you are a Rondi veteran, that is the who's who of the sport of dog mushing. I mean, everybody has run that race, including the Streepers, Lance Mackey, Lombard, Atla, Roxy Wright, all of the people that have been involved with this sport have run that race too. And here you are as a veteran. That's pretty select company.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
For sure. So after the Rondi, other races were involved. Of course, you ran the local races here, Montana Creek and Chugiak and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But you also ran the Onak and at the, I think they call it the Spring Carnival in Tanana.
Yep.
Let's talk about that race. Did you guys have to go over the ice bridge and all that?
Yeah, we did have to go over the ice road and down a one lane road for quite a while. It was quite the experience. It was, again, a lot of fun. I don't know if it's necessarily better than Rondi. I don't know if I really have a favorite race. I think they're all just really exciting and unique in their own ways. But it's definitely up there in my top three favorites.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a cool race. And what a black and white from the Rondi, where you're running through Alaska's biggest city to a city, or I guess it's a village off of the road system in the middle of nowhere, where you got to go over the ice road and all of that. It is such a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really cool.
So let's talk a little bit about one of your dogs. You said that you've got dogs from a bunch of different places. Usually people pick out their favorite dog. That's tough to do. I don't know if I could pick a favorite, but tell us a quick story about one of your dogs on your team.
Okay. Man, there's lots of stories about all of them.
Okay.
But I think we'll probably go with one of my puppies, because I'm really proud of those little puppies. At the time, going into the fall, I had two back. Karosh actually had three of the puppies up until March. I got three boys back from him when he retired. So I kept my pick puppies, Annex and Anvik. And they are just incredible athletes. The little female, she can just go, 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 and has no quit. Over the summer, I introduced when the puppies were little, about 8-9 weeks old, I introduced them all to the pool before they even left the house to go to their new owners. So I got all the puppies swimming. And then the following year, last year, I got my little female Anvik dock diving. And she got invited to dock diving regionals last year. And then flash forward to this season, she has been leading my main team for a bit of the season. I didn't run her too much in lead in the races just because she's a baby and I wanted to keep the pressure off of her and save her up for her future. But I did put her up in lead a little bit in Onak and a little bit in Rondi just because I, right now for me, racing is just giving the dogs experience and giving myself experience. We're not racing to win. We're just racing to have fun. And I wanted her to have that little bit of experience up front. And she took to it like it was nothing. Even at the end of that 25 mile run, when I decided to put her up about 23 miles in, and like I said, she had never done those big runs before because we were only able to get up to about 22, I believe, this year before Rondi. She just aced it. So those little puppies are going to be a lot of fun on the to be behind them next year.
That's a cool story for sure. Two questions here, Destiny. The first one is about your dog names. You've been involved with this a long time. Do you have any type of system for naming all these guys? Do you use themes or something like that?
Yeah, the puppies that we produce, I kind of do have a little bit of a theme. I do go with the alphabetical theme. So my A litter was A names. So I have Annex and Anvik, and they are named after mountains. And then Kurosh changed his puppy's name, and I was too lazy to change them all back. So all my dogs that came to me with their current names, they stuck. I'm too lazy to change them. And then my B litter was out of a really spicy male. And they're both red dogs. So redheads generally have that attitude to be a little bit more spicy and fiery. So we decided to go with alcohol names for our B litter. So we have Bramble and Blanton and Brandy's and Bacardi and Bailey's and Blondie and a little Breezy.
I like it. Definitely have to keep track there, whether you're doing the alphabet or theme names or whatever. We do a lot of music and movies here. We have like a rock and roller crew and a monster crew for horror names and things like that. So definitely got to keep a way to keep the names fresh. Do you ever rename a dog? So if you have a dog named, I don't know, Spike, is there ever a Spike number two?
I don't. I will not rename a dog. If I get a dog with a name that's the same name as another dog, I might keep it. So I did for a little bit of time have two Windies, which was a little bittersweet because one of my very first competition dogs was a female German Shepherd named Wendy. And the second Wendy sled dog that I got was a little streeper dog. Okay. Super female. So I was like, I really can't change your name. It's kind of perfect. But no, I will not rename a dog just because I'm a little too attached to the original.
Yes, I am the same way. And I think a lot of dog mushers are of that same volition. They don't like to rename the dogs because, you know, there can only be, one Zorro, I guess, in terms of like a Lance Mackey dog. So Destiny, you talked about competition, and we started off the show about you being involved with dog training and sports and all that. This is more for our audience because, as you know, people that are listening may not be dog mushers, but I bet they own a dog. When you are working with clients in whatever capacity, whether it be obedience or working with competitions like protection or dock diving or mushing or ski joring or whatever, if you could give a client a tip or two that could help them go to that next level, meaning above basic obedience, sit down, stay stuff, and they're thinking about doing something else with their dog, what would you tell them?
I would recommend prioritizing your engagement with your dog and making sure that you are the funnest thing in that dog's life.
Okay. All right. I like that because a lot of people do not do that. They're all over the place, either that or they come in way too late and then have unrealistic expectations. I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what is next? I mean, my goodness, you really checked off the boxes this year in terms of races. What's coming up in 26, 27?
Nothing too crazy out of the blue than what we've already accomplished this year. Just kind of keeping on the same path and continuing to build our team and build our relationships with our dogs and watch them reach their max potential. So we'll probably hit up all our local races again, do Rondi, Onak, probably go out to Tanana. I've been talking about maybe going out to Kotzebue, checking Kotzebue out, but it kind of all depends on how the winter goes and what the fall has planned and whatnot. But yeah
there, of course, there are so many races here in Alaska, which comes to the kind of long-term goals. Have you ever thought about doing something else, like the stage stop or anything else, one of those other bucket list type races?
Yeah, I did have plans to do stage stop in 2030, and then I have really loved this group of dogs that I'm currently training, so our goal is to move that up, and we're going to try to hit up Wyoming in 2028.
Wow. That is awesome. I mean, that's a trip all of in itself. You got to drive down there and take a week down there and a week back plus, and then, of course, run that race for well over a week. Dang near a month gone, I guess, would be the appropriate amount of time, right?
Yeah, it'll be a trip. I'm really looking forward to it. I love road trips, and I love traveling with the dogs. The first time I left Alaska via vehicle by myself as an adult was after I graduated high school. I packed up my expedition with my shepherds, and we headed out to Texas, and I spent 6 months traveling and competing with my shepherds. So I'm really excited to take a trailer full of sled dogs.
That's awesome. We started the show, Destiny, saying that you got involved with dog mushing because your parents were doing it way back in the day. Is this still a family affair? Does anybody besides you running these races, in particular, your boyfriend, other people in your family?
Yeah, for sure. My boyfriend has definitely grown the addiction for dog mushing, so I have to fight him for dogs to run, but he has plans to run his own team and Onak and Rondi and all of those fun things.
Oh, competition.
Oh yeah. And then my dad also has gotten back on the runners. I think this was his third year racing my team at Toke. He claims that as his favorite race of the year. I guess it was one of his favorite races as a kid growing up. So he always loves to go to Toke and take the sled dogs. And when I travel in the winter and go compete with my shepherds and my Chessie out of state in the winter, normally my dad will stay home and he'll train the dogs and take care of the sled dogs and at least get them out a couple times a week so they get to run while I'm out of town.
It definitely takes a village, doesn't it? Whether it's the significant other or other family members, friends, all of that. It's tough to do alone, isn't it?
Yeah, I did also get my grandpa on the dog sled.
Oh my goodness!
For the first time this year, I think he said it was his first time in 30 years, maybe.
Oh wow!
He had been on a dog sled, but he used to run dogs. He used to run my mom's team for her when she was in school, and he loves to tell his stories about the sled dogs. So that made his whole winter was going out and training sled dogs with me.
Oh my goodness! How old is grandpa?
I am a very bad granddaughter. He's got to be 60.
Oh, so not bad. He's only a few years older than me, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, he's not too bad.
Okay. All right. Destiny, before we go, I have some questions for you. I've been asking all of our guests. I'm excited to hear what you have to say. The first one is, what is your favorite song and artist? What are you listening to?
Favorite song is going to be I Won't Back Down.
Okay. Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down. I like it. Next up is a piece of gear you always have with you other than your phone. And what kind is it? Is it a handheld? Is it a watch? Is it what?
Yeah, it's just a little old Garmin Forerunner GPS.
Okay, so a watch type piece of gear. Okay, the other one is a two-parter, and that is, what is your favorite trail or race snack? What are you eating there before you jump on the sled? And then the second part is, if you are on one of those road trips, if it's one of those three-week ones way down to Wyoming or Texas, or just stopping here at the Circle K here in Alaska, what are you picking up? Two-parter there.
My favorite, like, pre-race snack is probably going to be, like, a bagel and cream cheese.
Okay.
And then my favorite road trip snack, really bad, but the taquitos from, like, Shell or Circle K, they get me every time.
Okay.
I like the little taquitos.
All right. Hey, you know, we've heard it all. We've had gas station pizza. We've had 32-ounce Mountain Dews. We've had Tang, applesauce packets. We've heard them all. So I love this question because so many people can relate to what they grab at the gas station when they're pulling in and thinking, man, I've got to have something for sure. So last thing here, Destiny, I know that you have a lot of interest, but where is the place where you are most active? Is that social? Is that Facebook, Instagram? And then do you have a main website?
Yeah, I try to be pretty active on both my Facebook and my Instagram. And I do have a website that I attempt to keep up to date as much as possible, but it does become challenging.
Okay. And what's your Instagram handle or name?
The personal Instagram is going to be AK Dogs.
Okay.
And then my business is LNL's WK9S. And then my personal Facebook is just my name. And then my business Facebook is LNL Working Canines.
All right. We'll definitely link all those up in the show notes. Before we close here, anything else you want to add? Do you have any sponsors you want to thank? Anything of that route?
I'd just like to thank you for having me on the show and hope that everybody has a good day.
Excellent. So on behalf of our guest today, Destiny Lytle, this is Robert for the Mushing Podcast. We will see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.